Hey everyone, my name is Jared Golub, and welcome to episode 9 of the Washington Bullpen. On this week's podcast, we're going to talk about the tragic shooting that took place in a California nightclub, the third in as many weeks. Then we're going to discuss Attorney General Jeff Sessions' resignation, or firing, depending on how you see it. After that, I'm going to touch on the Trump administration's newfound attack on immigration. And then, because this past Tuesday was Election Day, we're going to do a full rundown on that, give you some of the results, what to look forward to, things like that. So stay tuned. We got a great episode. There was another tragic shooting Wednesday night at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks, California, the third shooting in as many weeks in this country. 12 are dead there, and at least another dozen more injured, including a Ventura County sheriff who was one of the first responders on the scene. The alleged shooter in this attack was a former Marine, and it was reported that he posted on social media during the shooting. So there's evidence against him, even though he was found dead inside of an office nearby the venue about an hour afterwards. Authorities believe that he did kill himself after the attack. So look for this gun debate to continue in Congress, especially now that the midterm elections are over. We will see what the lawmakers do about this. Up next in the Washington Bullpen, we have another departure from the Trump administration. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has resigned or been pushed out of the administration, depending on how you want to see it. Sessions was one of President Trump's biggest supporters on the campaign trail, and one of his first appointments once he was in office. He was a pretty big ally until he recused himself from the Russia investigation, which he was overseeing, after it was revealed that he had met with the ambassador. And this kind of put him on Trump's bad side. And control of the investigation was given to Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. So this is a big deal now because Sessions is out. Control of the investigation goes to Matthew Whitaker, his former chief of staff, and Trump's appointed temporary attorney general. Trump has been trying to fire Sessions for a while, but now that the midterms are over and the Dems control the House, they can launch investigations into the president, so he is probably looking for an attorney general that he can trust to be on his side. Now, speaking of the Trump administration, they have also launched a newfound attack on immigration. The White House announced new rules that would deny asylum claims to people crossing the border illegally. Now, you are allowed to claim asylum if you would be persecuted for going back to your country, whether that's for religion, sexual orientation, or any number of other reasons, but that we allow people to stay in our country if they would face prosecution. So denying this basically says we don't support people who are escaping oppression. Now, the administration says that this is an effort to make sure people enter at official entry points, but we have to take that with a grain of salt. This is coming as the admin is trying to stop a caravan of thousands of migrants from Guatemala from crossing the border and coming into our country. So we can see that there's probably an alternative agenda for announcing these new rules. We could see these go into effect as early as this weekend, but it's likely that this will get brought up in court. Immigration is something that very often gets brought up in court. For instance, this week, the Federal Court of Appeals also ruled in favor of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, allowing DACA to stay, even though the admin has been trying to get rid of that for a while as well. So it's very likely that these new rules on asylum claims will get brought up in court at some point before going into effect. And how can we end this episode of the Washington Bullpen without talking about Election Day? Tuesday, millions of Americans reported to vote. According to the New York Times, there were 38 million people who voted early, which is more than the 2014 midterms. And early estimates from the United States Election Project show that total voter turnout is up to getting as high or higher than 47% this year, which, according to NPR, is the highest midterm election turnout in over 50 years, since 1966. But enough about the turnout. Let's talk about the day itself. There were some polling issues on Election Day. Tennessee lost power while Georgia was having machine issues. However, despite these machine issues, there were still hundreds of voting machines going unused in Georgia. This is largely because of an ongoing lawsuit that claims that the Georgia electronic voting machines could be hacked. Days before the election, Georgia Secretary of State Brian Kemp actually accused the Democrats of hacking the voter registration system in an effort to, quote, expose vulnerabilities, end quote, his campaign wrote, although he did say that no personal voter information was breached. So if no information was breached, the real question becomes, why was this alleged hack perpetrated in the first place? So this ongoing lawsuit is one of the big reasons that Georgia had machine issues and very long lines at many of the polling places. People actually ended up leaving, according to a number of news sources. However, this was not the case here in College Park. I had the chance to report from two polling places on Election Day. One of them was inside the Student Union here at the University of Maryland. The other was off campus at Ritchie Coliseum, and that's the polling place for more of the locals to go to. The one inside the Student Union is for students who are Maryland residents but enrolled at university. I had a chance to talk to a few voters, one of whom said that they kept their ticket Democrat all the way down. You can hear what they had to say.
Sarah Eibach. I'm from Westchester, Pennsylvania, and I'm 19 years old.
Now, if you're comfortable, who did you vote for in the governor's race and why?
I voted for Ben Jealous because I'm a Democrat and I like his views.
Now, did you split your ballot with the House and the Senate, or did you continuously vote Democrat?
Democrat.
Now, is there a reason for that? Has the current political administration played any role in influencing you whether to vote or how you voted?
I want a Democratic House. It's about time. Okay. I'm for the impeachment movement, so.
And a student I talked to at the University of Maryland actually split their ticket, and this is what they had to say about it.
My name is Kenan Spencer, K-E-N-N-A-N-S-P-E-N-C-E-R. I'm 19, and I'm from Annapolis, Maryland.
So if you're comfortable sharing, in the governor's race, how did you vote and why?
I believe I voted Republican, and that's just the way I was raised and the values that I believe in. I'm not saying that any of the other candidates I strongly disbelieve in what they're trying to do. It's just for what's most in line with what I was raised with.
And if you recall, did you vote the same for the House and the Senate?
I believe I voted for Cardin?
Yeah.
Because I know specifically with his public education views, and with, I'm a music major, and I was once in touch with him through Boy Scouts about music in public schools. And what he had to say about just all-around education and how public schools should be approached, I definitely believe in, so that's why I voted for him.
Now, we can't end the episode without talking about some of the important results from the election. The Republicans maintained control of the Senate, gaining a few seats there. Most of those wins came in previous strongholds that Trump won during the presidential election. Now, this power grab in the Senate should help the Trump administration, because it will give them a leg up with judge confirmations, and it gives them a little bit more power as we get closer to the 2020 election. However, the Democrats took back the House by 25 seats as of Friday. Some votes are still coming in, though, so that number could change. They did manage to flip some of the population who voted for Trump. They gained seats in heavy Trump areas, which could cause some pushback in Washington. The legislative branch is divided now, so we could see a lot more stagnation. I want to take some time to focus on some specific races now. In Texas, Beto O'Rourke, who was the Democratic candidate who kind of became a viral star, while he lost the race to Republican incumbent Ted Cruz, he did put up a good fight. And I think it says something that the Democrats were able to push back so hard in such a red state. In Pennsylvania, four women were elected to Congress after they previously had none on their delegation, so that was a cool thing to see. And the Democrats managed to flip governor seats in Kansas, Michigan, New Mexico, Illinois, Maine, Nevada, and Wisconsin, while the Republicans only managed to flip one, Alaska. Now, while Election Day was Tuesday, this is far from over. There are somewhere around 10 races that are still outstanding, and recounts could potentially happen in both the Florida and Georgia governor's races, as well as the Florida and Arizona Senate races. So we will try to get you an update as those results come in. But if the recounts happen, they won't be until next month. And that's all I've got for you on episode 9 of the Washington Bullpen. As usual, our music is brought to you by Brenna Carroll. My name is Jared Golub. Tune in next week.